It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Reno's in Vegas. Stick with us. ESPN Vegas, ESPN Reno. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Justin and Matt, great guys to lean on for advice, but especially if you've got a case, these are the guys who will take care of you. 766-1400. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Number 775 in the north. Back to Adam Hill's mock draft in about 15. We just had an intense head-to-head. It really never developed. With the Falcons, ESPN insider Mark Raimondi says at 8, the Falcons will not take Dallas Turner. Are you embarrassed by that? Are you sticking with your belief that Turner is going there?
Well, remember when I said before the Falcons draft that if I was doing it now, I probably would have
changed. Oh, you would have changed it?
I think so.
You were forced to do it early.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not a huge change. It sort of maybe flopped him and Latu, but I still think Dallas Turner is a very legitimate candidate to be picked there.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
By the way, if you want to listen to the draft, all of our coverage will be over on Raider Nation Radio 920, and including going through the picks and everything. We'll be pumping up the picks. We'll be on first round tomorrow, Circa Swim at Circa Las Vegas, so be good to go. Should be very energetic day. Should be a good crowd out there inside of Circa Sports and outside at Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas. Big news, kind of shoehorned in to a day that's super busy, but we got to give it some time. It was such a big story at the time, and Reggie Bush is going to get his Heisman back. So remind people what happened here.
Yeah, he was found to have been in violation during his time at USC. Essentially, he was living in a house that was paid for by boosters in the university, so his Heisman was taken away many years ago. I thought like 5 years ago this happened. And maybe there was rumors of it or whispers of it or something behind the scenes. I just assumed this had happened a while ago. But officially, Reggie Bush being granted, you know, ownership and having claim over the Heisman Trophy once again is something that probably is long overdue.
14 years ago, yeah. It happened.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's cool that it happened. It should have never, you know, been going the other way in the first place. But this is good for Reggie Bush. Well, I'm sure he's happy.
It should have never happened. And I find the reason to overturn it is a little bit odd. The Heisman folks talking about a changing landscape or enormous changes in the college football landscape, which means that you can give benefits, sort of, and money to players while they're in school. I think he deserves it, and I'm going to tell you why I think he deserves it. But, like, the rules from 2005 didn't change.
No. If it was a violation of the rules then, it's a violation of the rules now.
So I think they're buckling to some pressure. But really the reason he got penalized was, think about what Michigan did in fighting the NCAA on Harbaugh. And threatening the NCAA on Harbaugh. You remember what Southern Cal did around that case?
Panicked?
No. Cooperated.
Yeah, panicked.
Yeah, they cooperated. They should have never done that.
Yeah, they were terrified about something, and they said, okay. Well, yes,
they should have never cooperated. They should have lawyered up, and it never would have happened.
Yeah, it's true. But
USC freaked out, and instead of USC, you're supposed to be rewarded for cooperating. Instead, they, you know, well, it wasn't them who stripped. They put USC on probation. They did get hit really hard. But, you know, if we're in the conspiratorial mood, I wonder how joyful folks in especially the SEC were that USC got dinged. And Pete Carroll basically got pushed out of football, yeah. Out of college football, and went to the Seahawks. Worked out for him, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because then it led to, I mean, eventually, you could point to that as a pretty big moment in the collapse, the eventual collapse of the Pac-12. USC not being a power, I mean, it opened things up for Oregon, a developing power at the time, but from a national standpoint, that void was never really filled.
Yeah, and USC, you know, was a power that would have been competing for titles pretty much every year, and they were out of the mix.
Hell, at the time, they were the superpower.
Yeah.
Winning national championships. You think Pete would have stayed? Had they not got crushed by the penalties?
He seemed to like it.
I was 10.
I like that. That's a good response. I want that a lot more.
He was fun to watch. I'll say that.
Reggie Bush?
Yes.
He was awesome.
My older brother is 2 years older than me, and so for his, when he was still doing Little League, he won at number 5 just because of that.
I would argue with no information, so this is just an allegation, that if we looked at the top 5 rushers in college football, both of the years, both of the biggest years for Reggie Bush, I would argue if we get the information that the other 4 may have gotten as much in terms of benefits or more.
Sure. Well, Reggie got a lot.
I might also argue by the, I guess, pull the dollar, the value of the dollar in 2004, and you put it back on previous Heisman winners since the mid-60s, that in their day, they got more benefits than Reggie Bush. Like, I think it's very funny. We'll bring this up later on with the USC guy and Arash Markazi. These 8 Heismans actually move USC ahead of 3 programs that have 7 Heismans. They were previously tied in Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame. I would love to look through that list of names and see what those guys got. You'll never find out. They're not going to tell. But that was the way of college football, and now it's above board, so I guess we're all good. Reggie Bush is back in the fold. Congrats. It's cool. He got his Heisman back.
Number 3.
I don't feel comfortable bad-mouthing our guy Tom, but DeMond sent over a story saying, attention ho, stronger word, Tom Brady has a roast on Netflix coming out. What?
The man, the arena, the roast of Tom Brady live on Netflix. No helmets, no mercy, no Brady rule.
No f***ing problem.
The greatest roast of all time, Tom Brady live, hosted by me, Kevin Hart, with a lineup of surprise guests.
We're coming for you, pretty boy.
I'm unroastable. Let's go.
There you go. You hear Jeffrey Ross, my doppelganger, in there calling him pretty boy. He's ready to go. Reaction, Michigan, man.
This can't be good.
They're going to have all good comedians. They're going to smash them.
Hosted by Kevin Hart.
And then the good comedians start at some point.
These roasts usually have pretty qualified people who are kind of brutal.
No, they usually go for names instead of really good comics.
Oh, no.
That's the problem. If they have really good comics, let me select a lineup of comics, it'll be good.
All bets are off.
I have a feeling it's not going to be great. And I'll tell you what already is a problem. As somebody, I do not mind vulgarity, and some of the comics I watch are as bad as it gets. But if you feel the need to force a curse into the promo to make it funny,
oh, that's a sign.
Real problem.
They're like, we're light on material.
It's a real problem.
Let's go for some
What if
shock.
He just says no blanking problem? That'd be so Tom Brady cursing. Oh! It's in trouble. They're in real trouble.
DeMond? Well, you don't like this from the get-go.
I don't like it from the get-go because, like I said last week, Tom Brady, he doesn't miss football. He misses the attention that football provided to him. And I think he's still trying to chase it.
Number 2.
Another hero from the past and kind of present. Tiger Woods. And Rory? What's the story here? What happened? PGA spiffing both guys?
Well, yeah, a lot of the guys in the PGA are like, wait, you're going to merge back with the guys that went and took a bunch of money. And so they're going to just have all this money, and now we're just going to accept them back. Like, what is going on? So the PGA started their loyalty program where they can make some payments to some of these guys that never left. And it sounds like Tiger Woods is going to get a pretty significant chunk of change.
$1 billion. Like he was rumored to be offered by Liv.
$100 million for staying.
It's pretty good.
Rory McIlroy, $50 million for staying around.
All right.
I mean, not enough.
Probably not enough, but it's something. It's good. I'll take it.
Of course, we'll take it.
I was just thinking, you're like, I know you're joking, not enough, but like, just thinking back to one of my friends is in town that just loves to do the would you do this for this much money game and just all day, every day. Thinking about some of the things that were said this week, for like, would you do this for $50,000? Like, almost everybody's like, yeah, probably. They're like, $100 million. Yeah, but for just staying around where you're, you know, in your employment? Yeah, like, okay, I'll do that. That's not bad.
If anyone wants to offer me a
Number 1.
Stay around.
You're available. JV Golfer, you're available.
Well, real quick, I just want to go back because you said the top five rushers from Reggie Bush's season.
Right.
One was Nate Ila'oa from Hawaii, who I don't think was probably getting that much.
Probably small benefit.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny.
You never know.
You never know. You never know at all. But then there was like George Stripling from Louisville.
Okay.
Justin Forsett probably was getting something. And then Jamal Charles was top five then too.
Jamal Charles while at Texas?
And yeah, and then number six was at the time, Pat White, who I'm sure was getting an awful lot from West Virginia. By the way, eighth leading rusher that year. Vince Young.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty good. So Jamal Charles and Vince Young in there.
So two guys on Texas in the top 10 rushers.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me number one again.
Number one.
Knights game two in Dallas tonight. I know you mentioned the other game or the other day after the first game. Hurdle and Stone together is going to be scary. Why?
At some point. They did not have a good game. I mean, I know, you know, they got the goal with Stone in front. Was a pretty impressive play. I think you could just see developing at some point the ability of Stone, obviously, to turn people over, to generate offense from defense, then to get to the net and just create in front. Everything that he can do and his vision is so insane. And then Hurdle with just a lot of those same skills, but really his presence in front of the net along with Stone is going to just make them so, so dangerous and so tough at some point in the playoffs. Now, again, their line wasn't great for long stretches. They struggled quite a bit in spurts on Monday. But you can just see what could be forming there. And I think by the end of the playoffs, if this team has a long run, it's going to be really good luck.
So a couple things with the guys getting healthy. One, you mentioned lines like that as a possibility. It also gives them more depth, but they also need the depth because the guys coming back who were hurt may not be able to go every single game. We'll see. So there's kind of every one of these games, you're like, okay, who's active, who's not. Nick Hague?
Out today.
Okay.
And day-to-day.
Okay.
Want to guess the injury?
Upper body.
Undisclosed.
Oh, they won't even give you upper or lower.
I did not see it. He might have in the last couple hours, but it was undisclosed.
Alec Martinez.
He's back. So he was out of the lineup, but he'll be back in. And I think, obviously brings a veteran presence who's been there and done that before. And I think that's a pretty good guy to be able to call him when you have an injury.
Right. But it is not a given that Alec Martinez will play every game.
No, I don't think so.
He's got more competition now, and it's gotten, which I don't remember. When we talked about trade deadline, you had mentioned maybe some more scoring and the goaltender.
Yeah.
How do you think the added defenders have worked out so far?
Noah Hanifin is incredible. Like, there's no question about it. He's so good. He's such a good skater. He's so good, so responsible defensively, but then so good at turning that into offense. He's so good at pushing the power play. To have not only him, but then Shea Theodore, who two of the best in the league at the top of the power play. You've seen the power play much, much improved the last couple of weeks, especially. They can both just do so many things and do so many things well. Like, that enables everybody else to settle into roles behind them.
Stars minus 165 for game two. The total is bumped up from 5.5 to 6. Our hockey talk on this Wednesday is sponsored by Findlay Acura in the Valley Auto Mall. 1.9% APR for 36 months. Available on many of the new 2024 Acura models. Findlay Acura in the Valley Auto Mall.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, now you got me going. Show's all laid out, and then Adam starts hitting on something during the break. We're going to get back to the rest of the mock draft, the rest of this hour. Adam Hill's mock draft, he threw pick number 8. All right, you know what? We're going to get to it at 4:35. That'll be a good break. But you just mentioned something that I think is outrageous.
Okay.
It's from what, the Levitard Podcast Network?
No. It's a totally separate thing.
A totally separate?
Yeah.
That Are You Trash Pod?
It's called Are You Garbage.
Are You Garbage?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I want to hear about, you made a point or a discussion about a second fridge in the house. I don't want the answer. All right. Pick number 9 is up. Adam Hill's exclusive mock draft. He only releases it on Cofield and Company and yesterday on the RJ. But I haven't read it. I wanted to be surprised, shocked, angered. I want to get emotional. So far, it's been pretty boring, although you did have the Vikings trade up and take a quarterback.
Yep. At number five.
At number five. So now the Cardinal, check that. The Chargers are back up in a little bit here, but the Vikings moved up. Okay.
Did we just play the sounder already?
We did play the sounder already for pick number nine.
Number nine, Chicago Bears are on the clock for the second time in the top 10. They get some protection for Kelly Williams, offensive tackle, Taliese Fuaga, Oregon State. Justin Moore. Applause. Fans are happy.
I was going to boo. But from everything I hear, that he's supposed to be some, you know, great lineman.
some great lineman.
But I'm doing research.
I wanted to boo. Should I have booed?
What are his weaknesses? Let me think.
This is a grown-up organization. Because my worry is for a bunch of these teams, tight end Brock Bowers, who I think is going to be really good, but you don't do it. You just don't do it. All right, 10th pick.
New York Jets. The pick is him.
Don't do it.
The 10th pick.
Don't do it.
The New York Jets select Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze. Oh, what is that for?
He's a great player, but do the Jets need him?
Yes.
Oh, Steve? Are you happy with the pick?
I like more value taking another tackle, left tackle, right tackle option over a wide receiver. I'd rather concentrate on a wide receiver later. I don't hate it. And he is a hometown guy, so I guess I got to love it.
Yes.
But Jets go with a receiver. So three receivers gone in the top 10. All right, next pick.
The 11th pick in the draft. The Chargers are on the clock.
Chargers
trading down.
Trade it down. Okay.
Steve's not going to be happy. The 11th pick. The Chargers select Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia. Steve wants to boo.
No. He's controlling. He controls the sounder. It's his opinion. Okay.
You're not going to be happy. You're not happy.
Damon?
He's the best tight end in the draft. If he's as good as everybody says he is, it doesn't matter where you pick him in the first round, outside of the top 10, let's say.
Well, I'm trying to predict what they're going to do, not what they should do. And I think that they look at him, and Harbaugh loves a tight end. Greg Roman absolutely needs a tight end to run his offense. It just makes too much sense. And they were able to trade down and still get a guy that they might have considered taking fifth.
Yeah. Well, you're going to hear the same thing with me throughout this first round. So I think everyone should take tackles. Unless they're desperate at cornerback, which there's cornerbacks coming up, and the Chargers need cornerbacks. So I would have gotten another tackle, another offensive lineman, or a cornerback. But Jim Harbaugh, come on, Jim, at 11 with the Chargers, goes with another weapon in Brock Bowers.
Denver Broncos up 12th.
Big one, 12th. 12th pick, rival, Broncos. Quarterback?
They select a player that Max Crosby last week was singing the praises of and wants on the Raiders. Leiatu Latu, edge, UCLA.
He was.
Good enough for Max, good enough for me.
Yeah. He's with the Broncos, though. He's on a rival.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, good enough for Max. Bad news for Raiders fans because the guy that he likes is now on the Broncos. Okay. Here we go. High drama. Close to the middle of the round. Your Las Vegas Raiders are on the clock here.
They are. Raiders are on the clock. And I believe this is Antonio Pierce lobbying to get his guy. The 13th selection, the Raiders select Terrion Arnold, cornerback, Alabama.
Really?
It does not matter who that pick was going to be. It was going to get booed because I know that the Raider Nation isn't going to be happy because it's not Jaden Daniels. Speaking for the nation.
They don't have a choice. They can't move up. The cost is too prohibitive. This is a position of need. I'm fine if the coach likes him. That's kind of important, too. And he's the first cornerback off the board.
And this is also the mock draft of known Raider hater Adam Hill.
What?
No.
I love Terrion Arnold. And I believe more than anything that Antonio Pierce loved Terrion Arnold. And I think if Antonio Pierce might have told Tom Telesco trade 12 first-round picks to get Jaden Daniels, and the trade-off was, hey, we're not going to do that, but we will get your guy at 13.
I'm sure you have sources.
Could very well be a tie.
Kind of back down there. New Orleans Saints, 14.
The Saints might run, absolutely run to the window at this point. Saints with the 14th selection select Olu Fashanu, offensive tackle, Penn State. It might be the biggest need of any team in the entire draft, tackle for the Saints.
And maybe a fresh person on the offensive line who hasn't met Derek Carr yet.
That'd be good.
Because the lineman got kind of pissed off at him last year.
That'd be nice. Be very nice.
All right, 15th pick is the Colts.
Colts go Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback, Toledo, at number 15. You don't like corners.
Just mixing it up here.
Compare him and Arnold. Who do you like more?
Well, I think I like Arnold. Well, it's more fit, right? Arnold, I think, fits with what the Raiders want to do. I think he has that like Raider kind of swag to him. He certainly meshed well with Antonio Pierce. I think he's a guy that you just plug in with Jack Jones and just have fun in the secondary. I think that would be great. I think Quinyon Mitchell definitely checks all the boxes in terms of athletic ability. I think for most teams, Quinyon Mitchell would probably be the guy that they have number one on their board. I just don't think that he fits with what just personality-wise is not quite what Terrion Arnold is in terms of match with the Raiders. They're both great on all systems. They can play man, zone. They check all the boxes in terms of being able to play the game. But I just think the fit personality-wise goes with Terrion Arnold to the Raiders. Seattle Seahawks.
16th pick, yeah.
Seahawks, another match locally for them and for us. And Troy Fautanu, offensive tackle, Washington, goes to Seattle Liberty High School alum. You better cheer. You better cheer there.
Have you selected four offensive linemen so far?
Yep.
Wow, okay. Out of the first 16. Yeah. Jaguars are up next at 17.
If I were picking for myself, he would be long gone at this point. But Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas, goes to Jacksonville, and that is a tremendous fit for them.
So Sammy P, who is trying to make some money on Murphy, over under 14.5 pick. That didn't work out. He played the under, and first defensive player taken, no. But that is a good match at that
right,
spot.
Right, but I said in my, like, if it was me,
right,
he'd be gone a long time before this, but this is just the way it fell.
18 is Cincy.
It is. This could change based on news of the last couple hours. if T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson both want out and have demanded trades.
They both demanded trades.
Yeah.
I thought, hey, has he gone back and forth on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is the official, we want out. So that might change their draft strategy. But for right now, the Bengals stay where they are, and they go J.C. Latham, offensive tackle, Alabama. And that fits really because he can play guard for now and then kick out the tackle when they need one in the next year, which they certainly will.
Can the Bengals get a second, or would it be a third for T. Higgins? Or lower?
It might be third.
Okay.
And I don't know what they would get for Hendrickson.
Again, I love offensive linemen, so. But the loss of T. Higgins, like you said, does change things, but maybe they get a pick back they can use on that wide receiver to fill the hole for Higgins. 19th pick is the Rams. There's been a lot of rumors around the Rams. Give it to me. Let's see where Adam goes.
First time in 8 years they've gone into draft night with a first-round pick.
F them picks.
It's crazy. And they use it on a defensive lineman because Aaron Donald's gone. Jared Verse, edge from Florida State, who can kind of play a little bit all over the line.
That is your versatility.
Discussion rumors of the Rams actually taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
With this pick.
Yeah, they certainly could. And they've only taken offensive player. I believe it's the first 60 picks under McVay, they've only taken offensive players.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Upset the apple cart. Yeah. 20th pick is the Steelers.
Interior offensive line goes off the board finally.
Sexy.
Here. Graham Barton from Duke can play center, which they absolutely need. They can't leave this draft without a starting center. And he can also play a little bit of guard, but he'll play center for them if he's drafted there, and they need that badly.
I'm going to squeeze an extra pick in here.
Real quick, did you guys see the ESPN graph when they put the hit and miss rate for teams that signed their first round pick to a second year contract? Well, to a second contract. Center is the highest hit rate from 2010 to 2019.
What was the number? 4?
11 out of 12.
Oh, 12? Really? 12? Yeah. Centers haven't picked?
From 2010 to 2019, yes. That signed a second contract with the team that drafted them.
Okay.
So if you're drafting the first round and you want it to be a hit, make it a center.
More of the mock draft coming up at about 13 minutes from now. We'll finish it up. 21 on down to the final pick of the first round. Chiefs, this hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Call Justin, Matt, the rest of the company, or the crew at Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada, 766-1400, 775 in the north.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Cofield and Company, we got NBA action going on. It was tight early. It's still tight. 2 minutes left in the first period. Miami on the road, getting 14.5, leading 24-20. Over Boston. How about the Bruins? Bruins are in Toronto, scoreless, 8 minutes left in the first.
Both teams have had power plays. Neither was successful.
Brought up the point yesterday, I didn't really understand what Charles Barkley was saying when he was talking about the Lakers at the end of the game. He started to try to point out some things about the Lakers that they didn't do right, and then he reversed course. And said, listen, Lakers did most things right. Nuggets did everything right. And you know, kind of gave credit to the Nuggets. They really didn't break down the Lakers at all. I pointed out that he also appeared to have his eyes look flush and kind of messed up. So I threw out the assertion that was he sleeping during part of the game?
Possibly.
DeMond sends over a tweet with a video of the TNT crew. And what was on the video?
Unlikely candidate Kenny Smith was caught sleeping.
Was caught sleeping at the desk.
That adds up.
In his defense, like I said for them yesterday, he says it's 1:30 in the morning.
I don't understand that.
Long hours, Steve.
It's the wrong show to bring that up to. Come on, everybody. Stay awake. You got to watch the games. Please.
It's your job to watch.
And they were called out, Barkley was and Shaq, by Kendrick Perkins last week. He was on a New York radio station. Those guys have been kind of burying the Knicks, saying they're not going to be a factor in the playoffs. Kendrick Perkins came back and said, well, it's pretty clear they don't watch basketball. They responded with some, like, sub-tweeting the next day, saying basically a five-point-per-game guy doesn't matter. Who cares what your opinion is? And then they went next level. He really did get under their skin.
Of course he did, because on last night's broadcast as well, there was a punching bag set up with Kendrick Perkins' face.
His face is on the heavy
bag. Charles Barkley was giving it the good old 1-2, and then Shaq came through with a water gun and also sprayed it.
Damn. Poor Perkins.
Sending him a message.
The war is on now.
He even blacked out one of his teeth to make him look snaggetooth in the picture.
He did
it's
black
not,
out a tooth.
It's not necessary.
It isn't necessary. But you know what the funny thing is? When I looked at it, I was like, that's about right. I actually for a second thought that Perkins was missing a tooth in the front. I don't know why. Did you watch Barkley's form on the boxing?
Not good. I'm looking at it right now.
He threw 16 punches and was gassed.
Not as good as my form in the living room?
Yeah, that was kind of scary. The VR, what is that called, a mask?
it's
mask
the
on,
Oculus.
Big fella just going in circles and punching at anything. Look out.
Do you still play yours? I heard that there was a big thing with Meta. They're just losing money because nobody plays their actual VR headset anymore.
Well, I think the problem is, like, I don't want to complain, but that you just buy the game and then you just have it. Like, you don't have to pay for updates or anything. You don't have to pay for while you're playing it. I'm not complaining.
So you're saying he's a terrible businessman?
No. I mean,
didn't they already make the money? What more money are they going
to
make?
Well, you can sell like, updates to the games. You can sell, new games. But, like, I have my four games that I love, and I'm just like, that's what I play.
But they don't sell games, or you haven't bought any?
No, they sell them. But I just have it. Like, I love the games that I play. I stick with them.
You're going to tank the company.
Not me. I'm not.
I'm sure they're going to go out of business.
They're going to be all right.
That's all headline, man. Meta's not doing too well.
Well, hopefully, I have mine. As long as it keeps updating, I'm good.
What did you guys think was going to happen in this game? Not the VR game. Miami and Boston.
NFL Pro Air is pretty awesome, too. I think Boston's going to roll, too. They'll win by like 10 or 12.
Okay.
Miami's up at the end of the first quarter. That's all I got to say.
Heat culture.
Well, you want to bet in game?
Win the first quarter.
What you want the bet to be?
I'm saying go online and bet it in game. You're a Heat culture guy.
There's you think no I have money in my account? Exactly. What do you, Steve, come on.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Talking mock draft all day. NFL draft goes on tomorrow. You can hear the entire draft and all the coverage on Raider Nation Radio 920. We will be covering the draft, but we'll be popping up the announcements live on the show. We'll have a lot of prop bets, rumors leading into it. Stanford Rout, former Raider, is going to join us as well. So looking forward to it. We're talking about the only mock draft that matters in different blocks of the show. We've been releasing Adam Hill's mock draft, his final one. He does work hard on this. It's up at lvrj.com on the web. You can go to Adam Hill, LVRJ. The link is up there as well. We're through 20 picks, and you still got just three wide receivers taken. Went in the top 10. No fifth or sixth quarterback has been taken. I expect a run with defensive players, but we'll see if Adam knows what he's talking about. And really, this for you is about predictions.
Yeah.
Like you've said a bunch of times, I would have taken this person higher or I would have grabbed this person instead. Okay, let's get back into it.
21, Miami Dolphins take JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson, interior lineman from Oregon. Gotta protect the assets on the outside. Gotta protect Tua, Tyreek, all those guys.
Doesn't seem sexy enough.
For McDaniel.
You got to remember, he was a run game coordinator. He's a running guy by nature.
All right. Eagles, who seem to have mastered the draft in recent years. They're up at number 22.
The Eagles go with somebody we've already talked about on the show today. Cooper DeJean, defensive back from Iowa. Superstar.
We talked about Cooper DeJean and if his draft stock would drop. Because he said the weirdest question he got from a draft expert, check that, an organization about him was, could he beat Caitlin Clark in one-on-one in basketball? And he said, he did it in classy fashion. He said, yes. So I don't know what the teams wanted. If they wanted a no, they wanted a don't ask me silly questions like that. They wanted him to be humble. They wanted him to come off as confident. Who knows? But he's now a member of the Eagles.
Yes.
At number 22. 23rd pick, but nope. Chargers. Traded with the Vikings, so the Chargers are up.
This pick also was originally the Browns. Then it went to originally the Texans. Went to the Browns for Deshaun. Then it went to the Vikings.
Remind people at 11 they took?
Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia.
Brock Bowers, the tight end. Okay, at 23.
One of my favorite players in the draft, Jerjon Newton, defensive tackle, Illinois. That's Johnny Newton is what he goes by. But Jerjon is a beast. I love this dude on tape. I get caught up every time I'm watching film, guys, just watching him over and over again. He can't be blocked. He's unbelievable.
And they absolutely have been less than stellar up the gut.
Yeah. And Jim Harbaugh is very familiar with him.
24th pick. The Cowboys are in the slot.
They can't help themselves.
Oh, no.
The Cowboys just can't help themselves.
Oh, no.
24th pick. In desperate need of an offensive lineman, the Cowboys select Brian Thomas, wide receiver, LSU. Yeah.
I think all they're doing is playing games at this point.
Why not?
I mean, they will get an edge rusher later. They will make sure to have someone who's kind of looming to put some pressure on Dak, and there's no pressure on Dak. They already have Trey Lance in the organization, right? High draft pick.
Sure.
Not of them, but of the Niners. Now they line this one up behind CeeDee Lamb. Like, look, CeeDee, we got the next CeeDee here. Yeah. Fall in line. And then Parsons did have his fifth-year option picked up today. So he'll make about $21.5 million in that fifth year. But, yeah, the Cowboys are desperate on the line, so they take more offensive weapons.
Why wouldn't you?
Excellent. Excellent. 25th pick. I did not expect the Packers to be here. I thought they would be stinky this last year. I was wrong.
Nobody in the world happier that the Cowboys passed on an offensive lineman than Gutekunst, who obviously needs one. And he goes Amarius Mims, offensive tackle, Georgia.
We are getting pretty late in this draft. And, well, the wide receivers are at 4. The over-under first round number for the wide receivers is over under 6.5. Still have the first 4 quarterbacks went. We have that next group that is out there. Tampa Bay is up at number 26.
Tampa Bay needs an edge rusher. They lost Shaq Barrett. There's a very similar player to Shaq Barrett in this draft, and that's Chop Robinson, edge, Penn State.
Wow, Devon. What's wrong, Devon?
You're out.
I listened to Amina Kimes today, and she said even though his name is Chop, he doesn't have much of a chop move.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Doesn't have a bag, as the kids would say.
That got him real quiet, real quick.
There you go.
You okay?
Yeah.
Mina coming over the top. Did she do a mock draft?
I'm sure she did, but
okay. We don't know where
it is. Heard it's on a hit.
6 picks left in the first round. Cardinals. This was part of the what the hell trade? Last year's trade.
Yeah.
27th pick, Cardinals.
Will Anderson.
Okay.
I think that was the one.
27th pick. What do the Cards do? The
Cards already got a receiver, Marvin Harrison. They need somebody for him to practice against. So they go with Nate Wiggins, cornerback, Clemson.
I don't think that's the entire rationale.
Look at this.
They've got Wiggins is not going to be a practice.
Their
player.
Secondary is trash. No, nobody needs the, they need the reps right. Against each other. They've got nobody to make Harrison better.
Iron sharpens iron.
Can we expect Adam Hill to be objective on the next pick, or is he going to try to screw over the Bills? Well, you're trying to get it correct. So no matter how much you dislike the Bills, you're trying to nail this.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it right. The Bills, Brandon Bean has said he might pick a wide receiver in every round. So I think we're going to believe it.
Did he say that?
He did.
Oh, come on.
He did.
I made a bet today, too.
What, that they weren't going to take a receiver?
Go ahead.
It could just be a smokescreen.
Let me see what I have. I already forgot.
They're going to Donnie Mitchell from Texas.
So A.D. Mitchell. He is the favorite to go there.
Oh.
For the Bills.
Oh, there you go. People probably saw the mock draft and made him the favorite.
You think people followed
has
your...
been very accurate.
Ravens. Check that. Lions, Ravens, Niners, Chiefs.
Those might not be the 4 teams picking.
I was going to ask you, do you make trades from the second into the first, especially considering there's quarterbacks here?
Yes.
Is that what your rationale was?
Potentially. But 29 is the Lions. There's a player that is a very Dan Campbell-like player. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama. They need a corner. He's a Campbell type of guy. They're going to love him.
What does that mean?
Well, they already added Amik Robertson, but they still need cornerback help. So they get it. But he's like very personable. He seems like he's the kind of guy that's going to respond well to getting away from Saban and in with Campbell. I feel like that's going to happen.
Ravens are up at 30.
They are. Ravens... absolutely. Absolutely need to continue building on the offensive line. It's kind of a constant turnover there, and they obviously want to run the ball a ton, so they need linemen. They're going Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. Hasn't played a whole lot, but his measurements are off the charts.
Damon loves your draft.
He does. He's
by the,
hold on. Didn't play a lot.
Applause in this.
His body isn't worn, though. He's ready. He's young.
We're just going off potential here.
Measurements, too.
Okay.
6'8", 322. 350 pass block snaps last year. 0 sacks.
Okay. The Ravens usually know what they're doing.
Is this for the 49ers? Do you have a breaking news sounder or something? Like a different one?
You're asking for too much.
I know. Huge move at 31. 49ers have made a trade.
Wait, hold on a second. We got the Ravens in, right? Okay, good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 31st pick, Niners.
The Niners have made a trade. The Las Vegas Raiders are on the clock.
What?
I don't know. Well, this is not going to happen. Could this be the moment the quarterback 4.5 going in the first round goes over?
Yes, it could.
Raiders?
The Raiders with the 31st pick select Michael Penix, quarterback.
You're hearing stuff?
They like him.
Steve, why are you so quiet?
It'd be a case where if he was to fall this far, a lot of teams I think would be on the phone trying to get back into the first round because you get that fifth year.
This is his thing. It's his thing.
You're not happy. You don't like the fifth quarterback.
It's not me who's.
You don't like the fifth quarterback going in the first round?
I don't even care about that. It's not me. It's you who have consistently smashed Michael Penix.
I'm not doing the draft that I would have done.
Okay.
And by the way, I love Michael Penix as a person, as I said, consistently.
Okay.
I don't like that he's old and hurt.
Was he also the player that you didn't like his rep?
His rep?
Oh, no, excuse me. That was JVT. Never mind.
What, he saw one rep that he didn't like?
I think it was Sharpie.
Okay.
They were rude to him.
Yeah, that's true.
32nd pick, the Chiefs.
If I were another team in the league, I would overdraft. Because I don't think.
He already told us yesterday who this was.
I don't think this guy is going to be great necessarily anywhere else. But I think with the Chiefs, he will be an absolute superstar. And if I was another team, I might draft him just to make sure the Chiefs don't get him. Xavier Worthy, wide receiver from Texas, is ridiculous. 4.2140, set the record for fastest 40 at the combine ever. They are going to get him, and they are going to make good use of him, and the league is going to be sorry.
Are you booing that the Chiefs just got stronger? Or
yes, that's why I'm booing.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah, my position bets with certain teams. I had the Chiefs taking a cornerback. I get 4-1 on that one.
Okay.
Could happen.
Sure.
I have the Bills taking a cornerback. 5.5-1.
I mean, it's possible.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to bet on a receiver to an obvious receiver team just because it's obvious.
Sure.
They could look at it and say, hey, there's enough depth. We can get them in the second, third, fourth round. We need a cornerback. And as I said, I would not draft. Unless I was a fortunate good team that happened to land in the top 15, then maybe I take a wide receiver. But
with the Jets?
I think the good teams will just pick that, not the Jets. Consistently pick the positions the NFL needs.
Yeah.
So there you go. Good job. A lot of bold picks. Very entertaining.
Got there. Raiders moving to the first
round. Poor Bo Nix.
How many picks would you have changed if you had an extra day or two?
Only about 4.
Okay. Just want to see if when we can actually match it up with the accuracy.
Yeah, I'm starting to think the Raiders might go offensive tackle first. But I think Terry Arnold is very, very well loved in the building. I think it's going to be a fight if he's still on the board in the draft.
Over him versus an OT?
I think so.
You were just saying that. What was your Ohio State guy? I'm blanking on his name now. The right tackle.
Ohio State guy? Oh, from last year?
Yeah, the Raiders.
The Raiders guy.
That they're okay at right tackle.
Yes.
Oh, Thayer Munford.
Thayer Munford. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they've had somebody in the draft. Yeah. I think they like Thayer Munford. Now, again, just because you have two starters in place doesn't mean you don't address that position. And I think they can improve. Thayer Munford as a swing tackle, you're much more confident about that than you are as a starting tackle, because that means you've got somebody even better than him at starting right tackle.